It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
No matter where you work from these days,
take Jones and Keefe with you on the Odyssey app.
Favorite WEEI.
That was Stephon Diggs on Friday when introduced to the media. I do like it sounds like he's got a bit of a chip on his shoulder.
Yeah.
Like, I was on pace for another 1,000-yard season. Guys don't do what I've done. You know, I'm ahead of schedule. I'm going to prove doubters wrong. I mean, some of that was left unsaid. But I would say, generally, the tone of that answer and a lot of the press conference was, he is a guy with something to prove, which I like.
Motivated. I agree with that completely. I'm sure he thought he was going to have more suitors, probably more money. And, you know, as a free agent receiver in his 30s, he's very well aware of his stats. And I don't blame him for that at all. He's probably looking around, seeing some of these other receivers and the deals that they signed. He's saying, well, nobody's done this. I mean, he and Mike Evans probably,
right,
as far as like consecutive years. And he was on pace. And he also reminded everybody, you know, for some reason, oh, he had a down year in Houston. It's like, no, he got hurt. Like, he was actually doing just fine.
He played 7 or 8 weeks, and he was on pace for 100 catches and 1,000 yards. Yeah. He knows that.
He does. And that's fine. I think that's fine. Most receivers, I bet, do. Whether they tell you or not, I'm pretty sure the receivers know what their numbers are, especially in a contract year or in a free agency period. They for sure know what their numbers are. Another thing that jumped out to me overall with the Diggs press conference from Friday and some of his, like, social media stuff since then, there was an exchange about how he had a picture of, like, Mike Vrabel, and they asked him about it. He's like, yeah, he's like, he used to be a handsome guy. Like, I don't know about anymore, but he used to be handsome. So it reminded me kind of all the stories we heard about Vrabel, who was the one guy that seemingly kind of
bust balls,
poked Bill Belichick. Mm-hmm. And like, nobody else did that. Everybody else walked on eggshells around Bill. And Vrabel, like, give him the business and, like, the stretching line and, like, make fun of what he was wearing. I think you kind of need a guy like that. Like, if you have a whole bunch of guys that are, like, afraid to say stuff, or if you have a whole bunch of guys, like, I think Diggs could be really good. I know some are wondering, like, oh, I don't know, like, diva receiver. I don't know if he's got a good relationship with the coach that way. Also, he's been in the league 11 years, which you mentioned a few times, too. I think all that stuff is really important, and that kind of personality could actually work as a real benefit for this team.
And I'll tell you, too, I liked one of his answers on Friday, and we were driving back from Worcester listening to it. I thought WEEI Afternoons did a good job carrying that. I know that wasn't carried everywhere.
I wanted to hear it.
I did as well, and so I thought that was a good listen. And I think he might be good. Trust me, I'm not in on Polk or Baker or those guys, but a guy like that in the room might be good for those guys. Because he gave his answer. It was something like, oh, I was a fifth-round pick in Minnesota, and I didn't get on the field the first 3 weeks, and I thought I was going to get on the field, and the idea is when you get your opportunity, you got to go show out. And look, Jalen Polk got an opportunity and did not show out. Baker, to a lesser degree, when he got his opportunities, didn't do anything with it, but they were more limited for him. there's a chance that Diggs is good for that room. And so I felt pretty good listening to him, but maybe I'm just, you know, falling for the obvious and it's an introductory press conference.
But that's all we have to base it off of right now.
I'm too easily swayed.
Well, and a lot of times, you know, last year too, remember all of a sudden the receiver coach started catching strays. Like, they were blaming the receiver coach.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, whatever. Like, the position coaches, you know, do have a certain level of importance, but also getting that insight from Steph Diggs, a guy who has done it in the league and has had a ton of success, like all pros. So whether it's certain coverages or just certain whatever, like if Jalen Polk or Javon Baker or whoever asked Diggs a question, you might get a pretty good answer. Like, you might get something that does shape how you then go about it, and maybe it does help improve you rather than some of these different position coaches that you had.
So I thought Mike Reese had an interesting note in his Sunday notes yesterday. It was the lead item on Stephon Diggs. He wrote, in 2024, Diggs lined up in the slot 43% of the time, which was a notable increase compared to 27% during his time with the Bills. So still less than 50% of the time in the slot.
Mm-hmm.
But he was a slot player last year compared to his time in Buffalo. Reese notes, the presence of emerging star Nico Collins as a fixture on the outside might have contributed to that. It's true. Their personnel might have forced him inside more. Meanwhile, the slot in New England, which was a staple over the years with Troy Brown, Wes Welker, among others, could use a rebirth. It was expected that Douglas would be the top option in 2025, Pop Douglas, who I guess Stephon Diggs knows, actually. But Diggs' arrival could alter plans at times depending on the other receivers on the field, i.e. Mac Hollins on the outside. The Patriots across the last 3 years are 29th in slot receiving yards per game, 62.6, 28th in completion percentage when targeting the slot, 64.7, and 30th in expected points added, EPA, to offense when targeting slot receivers, 32.68, whatever that means.
Mm-hmm.
Put Diggs in the slot, and those numbers figure to spike. So where does Diggs line up? And if it is in the slot, the guy we felt best about in the receiver room, or at least you felt best about before signing Stephon Diggs, was Pop Douglas.
Right.
If Diggs is a slot guy, what does it mean for a young guy like Pop?
So I think both will probably end up playing all over the place. I think that's probably where Diggs, and he even said it in that clip we were coming back. I can go deep. I can go the medium stuff. You can throw it to me short. Like, I think he's someone that you can probably play anywhere and almost see what you have in the other guys and who you trust more. Because Kayshon Booty had some decent performances last year. And if you feel good with him on the outside, then that's all right. That's more opportunity for Diggs in the inside. Also, Pop Douglas might not be like, they don't have any Welker Edelman.
No,
they don't have one of those guys on the team right now. So it's not the traditional Patriots slot that we're used to, or that Josh McDaniels has even coached a lot of. So I think he's probably going to be all over the place. Like, there might, you might see him line up not in the same place twice for like a whole quarter. Like, that'd be my guess.
If that's the case, I would like that.
Yeah.
You know, you're probably going to have a place you primarily line up, but if they're moving around the formation, I think that's good. We didn't get a lot of Diva Stephon Diggs at all.
No. I think there's a honeymoon period with most of these guys.
Well, look, any of you get the Diva Stephon Diggs, I personally don't care about that. But I know that's something that's followed him around. Late in the press conference, he did get pressed a little bit on, referencing his numbers and the pace he was on a number of times, which he did harp on a couple of times. We played it for you earlier. I was on pace for 100 catches and 1,000 yards.
He was.
So he gets asked about that at the end, and it was the one time I think you got the Diva Steph Diggs a little bit.
You mentioned your statistics and a couple answers. Do you have targets in your mind right now that you look at?
Nah. I mean, it's a new situation. Like, in my past situations, you can kind of gauge where I was going to be. But even last year, like, I said the numbers because that's where I ended up with. Like, at the end of the year, we can have a great conversation on where the ball fell and how many numbers I have. But throughout the year, I try not to worry about it. But when the offseason comes around and we're making it make sense as far as, like, number-wise, and we're talking about money, we're talking about this, obviously I'm going to speak the very language that we all know.
Okay. When we're talking money, my numbers need to be in a certain place.
He should know.
Okay, yeah. I don't disagree with that. I'm just saying the one example of that was he was kind of harping on his numbers, and he's like, well, when it's time to talk money, the numbers matter, and I'm going to make sure we have the conversation in the language we all know. I think that was the one aspect of getting a little bit of, my numbers need to be in the right spot at the end of the year.
Yeah, at the end of the year. But he also didn't say this year, like, I should be a 1,000-yard guy. Of course I'm a 1,000-yard guy. Like, similar to not putting a timetable on when you're going to be ready, it would make no sense to say what they are. A lot of guys are asked these questions before the year, and a lot of times guys will say, yeah, I do have goals, and I'll keep them to myself. because you don't want to like publicly say like, right, I'm going to have 10 touchdowns. Then you have four. Like, hey, remember when you said you wanted 10 touchdowns?
Right.
Like, what happened there?
It's like every time Mayo put out into the atmosphere that, oh, we're going to win four games. Yeah, no.
Don't say that.
We're going to burn cat. Like anytime you can throw stuff back in your face, we will as the media. So put less out there. That's fair. Yeah.
My guess, I think it would be pretty obvious, would be games played will be important to him. And then if the games played are in the right spot, back to where he was. He was a get out of bed, 100 catch, 1,000 yard guy. That's what he was. It's funny, looking at his numbers, especially after he was talking about him, he had 1 year where he was, his last year in Minnesota actually, was a big yards per catch season. Everything else, and that was like 18 yards a catch. Everything else has been 10, 11, 12, 13. So I think, like, especially at this stage of his career, this also goes back to like where he's going to line up and everything. He feels more like a, you know, six catch a game for 65 yards with the occasion like spike. But like on average, six for 66, you end the season with somewhere around like 100 yards, 1,000 yards, 100 catches.
No, he's going to have to do it on volume, which I'm okay with.
Yeah, yeah, which I am too, which I think Drake May needs, like all that.
But yeah, we said this last week. How many times has he had a 100-yard game? It's been like 21 games since his last 100-yard game or something like that, going back to early into his final year in Buffalo. Mm-hmm. One more item on Stephon Diggs. This came out. I don't think it was hard to predict. I know I caught some flack for it in the Twitch chat.
Uh-oh.
I don't think it's hard to predict that all the numbers that came out on Stephon Diggs' contract, the Patriots weren't even going to be close to that. They were trying to trumpet that up, and or Diggs' side was trying to trumpet it up.
Well, it looks good for both.
To make it look like a better deal. Right. Kraft is spending, and Diggs is worth the money. Florio had good details on that. He says the contract has $4 million in 2025 incentives. The Patriots like to structure their deals this way. We highlighted this with Milton Williams. The initial reporting did not align with what Milt Stilt ultimately got. The contract has $4 million in 2025 incentives with $500,000 unlocked at 70, 80, 90, and 100. Okay?
Yep.
So he can get $2 million if he gets to 100 catches in incentives.
Nice.
Same thing with yards. 1,000, 1,100, 1,200, 1,300. So you get 100 catches and 1,300 yards, that's $4 million extra dollars in incentives.
And deserved.
There's also an annual $500,000 Pro Bowl incentive. So you're making the Pro Bowl. There's $500,000.
Is that alternate Pro Bowl too?
Good question. Probably.
If you're like the 10th guy in, you still get it. I'll
easier
take it.
Easier for quarterbacks and the like to get in than wide receiver as an alternate.
Yeah, true.
But that probably still counts. The base value of the deal, Florio writes, is $63.5 million. It is not $69
million. Damn.
To get to $69 million, Diggs needs to make the Pro Bowl every year and catch 100 passes for 1,300 yards. This season in 2025.
I'm high on Diggs. I'm not that high on
Diggs. No, me either. Yeah. The guarantee at signing is $16.6 million, not $22.6 million and not $26 million. I'm sorry. It's $16.6 million. The total guarantee is $22.6 million, not the $26 million, rather.
Right, right, right.
Apparently, the initial reports included $3.4 million in per-game roster bonuses. So Diggs gets $3.4 million in per-game roster bonuses where he has to be out there, and I'm skeptical he's going to be ready week one. And Diggs has to earn those. Diggs, who tore his ACL last year, will lose $200,000 for every game he misses. So if he misses four or five games, you're down $1 million.
Yeah, it's very
on the guarantees
friendly
in the deal, which were reported as guarantees. It's not worth $23 million a year. It doesn't pay $26 million guaranteed. It has 1 year of security with a team option as to whether he'll continue in 2026 and 2027. So I illustrate that for a couple of reasons. One, I think the Patriots are trying to trumpet it up to make it look like a better deal for them, but it could have been Diggs' side. We're spending, we're in on top flight receivers.
Both help.
And number two, Keith, and maybe this is the more important thing, they don't fully believe in him, and they don't fully believe he's going to be ready week one, and they're protected, which is good business.
Yeah.
They're protected in case he isn't, but I think the more you dig in on this, the more they're not sold he's the same guy.
Well, and even when you heard the initial 26 guaranteed, 69 total, who thought he was going to be here for 3 years? Like, none of these deals, especially when you start signing guys in the 30s, and the guaranteed money versus the reported money are so wildly different, you're like, there's plenty of outs. And then you read into it even further, and like, there's even more outs. You're like, I hate the NFL contract. It's so dumb. It's so ridiculous to sort of like figure out every single detail. But no, it does come across as pretty team friendly. I think now, you know, do they want to get credit for, see, we did spend money at that position because they haven't really spent money at wide receiver in forever, maybe ever. And so now you're going to be like, well, they did have the Steph Diggs one, which people would be like, well, did you see this? Like, did you really spend money at receiver? But it's one of those ones where if he outperforms the performs really well, he'll get paid maybe not what he really deserves for a 100-catch, 1,300-yard season, but he'll get more, and the Patriots will be happy to hand that out, but they obviously have covered themselves.
And the main thing is he needs to play. He needs to play 17 games, or else he's costing himself $200,000 every game he misses.
And for him to sign that, so it's easy to say, hey, I'm ahead of schedule, and have your trainer be like, I've never seen anything like this. But if you're willing to sign a deal that is so much tied into like game day bonuses, you do feel you really have a chance.
Well, and look, it'll keep him motivated to be out there week one, which is good. Reese, and we cut this out of the question we had coming back, but Reese asked him prior to that about who else did you visit and who else had interest? And he's like, well, other teams were interested, but this was my only visit.
No visits.
It's like, I wonder how many other teams were really interested at the end of the day. So I still like the signing. He's easily their best receiver, but I think there's a good amount of risk in that you're not sure what he is as a player these days. And the Patriots protected themselves, but they told you they need protection in that deal. 617-779-7937. It's an early start for the Red Sox today. The game got moved up by a half an hour. So first pitch a little after 2:30 on WEEI. Pre-game coverage starts at 1:35. Here on your flagship station for the Red Sox. We're going to do Grab Bag at 1 o'clock, so it'll come your way a little bit earlier today. Mark that down, and we'll get back into Rafael Devers, his historically bad start, coming up next.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Jones and Keefe.
Jones and Keefe on WEEI.
Get Boston Sports Original on the go wherever you go. Just download the Odyssey app.
Would you guys change the subject already? I'm the DH.
Stop talking about it. I'm doing fine. Obviously, I'm adjusting just fine.
Why is this even a story?
Asking me about this?
Why is this even a story? I'm the DH. Right. Duh. Uh-huh. Like, I've been the DH all along. Did I ever say anything different?
That was Rafael Devers via translator
on
Friday. So just know, that was after the Red Sox lost their first game of the year.
He was only 0 for 8 at that point.
Only two games into the year.
Yeah.
I was like, boy, Devers looks like trash. But he was only halfway to how bad it actually was for the weekend. And already he's like, guys, change the subject. Move on. Why are you hung up on this? We're all looking for the guy who did this. And he is now 0 for 16 with 12 strikeouts. If you want to be even remotely fair to the guy, even a teeny tiny bit fair to the guy, he did draw what felt like a big walk late in the game yesterday.
Yeah, he got on base.
To extend the game to Bregman, who made the final out. And maybe we're going too easy on Bregman. Maybe we're going too easy on Cassis, but... it's impossible to ignore the Red Sox dropping 3 out of 4 after winning the opener, 3 straight, offense doing nothing. It was a disappointing weekend, and it's impossible to ignore that Devers is the face of it, the fat face of it for the Red Sox this weekend.
So I was looking up his numbers from last year. So he homered in the opener a year ago.
Nice.
Smacked a ding-dong right off the rip.
What's that like?
Yeah, we haven't seen it yet from him. Now, in the month of April, his average and OPS actually wasn't bad. He had two home runs, though, because I remember at the time saying, this guy has not hit a lot of ding-dong. So
I likewise remember bitching about
that
early in the year. Yeah.
So going into May, he had three home runs. I remember being like, what is going on with this guy?
Where's the power?
In the month of June, he hit seven.
That'll work.
So, like, he is capable of having
seven.
Yeah, like a really quiet series or week or whatever, and then going on a tear. I think he had a home run. Was it five straight games? It was five, I think it was.
Maybe it was six.
It was six straight games he had a home run.
Nice.
So it doesn't look like he's ready to go into one of those type of things. But that's the nature of baseball. Just the 162-game part of this thing is it can look really bad, but then it can turn around. But yeah, so much of this is just him putting the target squarely on his back in the with the things that he said. And then even that answer is not great after Friday.
Guys, move on.
Like, all right, why don't you start hitting it? We will move on.
And it's just you're the one who made it an issue in the first place.
Oh, for sure.
If you just moved to DH, we'd be willing to cut you slack like we're cutting slack to Bregman and Cassis and pretty much everybody not named Christian Campbell and Willy Abreu. Mm-hmm. We'd be willing to cut you some slack. But unfortunately, you made a big deal out of it. You went AWOL. When you came back, you moved your return date multiple times. You didn't go to Mexico, which I'm now just piling on because I actually really don't even care about that.
He just added to the list.
And you showed up out of shape, obviously out of shape. And you didn't work. You complained and stamped your feet about it in the meantime. And now you suck. I don't know who else to be angry at other than you.
It's a tough combo.
We're not going to move on from it because you're the one who made it a big deal in the first place.
No, it is. And even if you want to look at the Red Sox, like Alex Cora and Craig Breslow, and say, hey, they should have been more transparent with Devers, their $300 million guy, the face of the franchise, sure, I'll even give you that. But that was now weeks ago. You stamped your foot and you said you weren't going to move to DH. That's fine. That was a big story for a week. But now it's all time to move on. Also, what's going on with you health-wise? Could you even play third base? Like, would you be able to go out there? That was another one of the issues in the spring.
Do you think he's hurt?
I think he's out of shape.
Thank you. So you don't?
Yeah, I don't think he's like hurt.
I don't think it's a shoulder. I don't think it's an injury. Yeah. I think he didn't work in the offseason, and now he's behind because he didn't put in the work. So yeah, I don't think he's hurt.
Yeah.
He might not be in peak physical condition. He's not in peak physical condition, but yeah, I don't think he's hurt.
But it is weird because you might be mad at the organization and everything else or mad about how this has all transpired, but you're the one that goes up there and ends up striking out on three pitches or whatever and now have the worst start in baseball history. Nobody has struck out 12 times and gone over 16 to begin a season. It's
classic.
Wild.
Classic.
And that's what you have. So now you're the one that goes up there. He's in the lineup again today, batting second, even though it's against a lefty. Tristan Casas is getting the day off, but Devers is still in there, seeing if he can turn it around. But it becomes very much on you. And if he wants people to move on and stop asking him about being the DH, well, the reasons why the questions are still there, they're going to continue, is because of how bad you're struggling.
Okay, text line. Not that I want to defend Raffy at all, but one of the best hitters in the league, Luis Arraez, is off to an 0-for-14 start.
Okay.
Okay, did he bitch all offseason about where he was going to play and is he out of shape? I mean, maybe. I don't pretend to follow him as closely as Devers.
Strike out 10 times, 12
but
times?
But to me, that's the difference. I mean, they have plenty of guys who aren't hitting. The reason we're on Devers is because he made a big stink about it. By the way, Alex Cora answered this very definitively. I think this was also from Friday, if I'm not mistaken. Actually, before the Friday evening game. He made it very clear that Devers is a DH only and will not be playing anywhere else.
If you want to give Bregman a day, will you go with Raffy there? Or
Raffy's DH. Raffy's going to DH.
What goes into that? Does Raffy ever
seem to change? No, I mean, he's our DH. You got to think about it, and I lived through it in the WBC 2017. I still remember we asked Carlos to play third base, and there was an off day for Francisco, and Edwin Rodriguez, who was the manager, like, hey, you want to tell Carlos he's playing short? I'm like, no, you do it. You're the manager. And Edwin asked Carlos, hey, for tomorrow, you want to play short? He's like, no, I'm the third baseman. So Raffy, we had a conversation. We talked about it. He's DHing. He's the DH of the Boston Red Sox.
Romy and maybe Hamilton as the backup there.
We got Romy. Yeah, we got guys that can play third.
Okay, so
that leaves it to be desired.
Maybe I'm talking out both sides of my mouth because I don't really want to see Devers at third and he stinks at third. But what would help the team is if Bregman needs a day, Devers would go out there at third.
I'm not entirely sure that's true.
But maybe I'm being inconsistent on that. You're okay with him being the DH.
I love this message. I don't want it to yo-yo, because then you kind of open the door slightly for Devers to take the position back, or at least in his mind take the position back. And if he has to get used to the mental aspect of being a DH, which is what the question was previously to Devers that we played, even though he answered in a different direction.
Too much downtime.
Get used to it. Yeah. Get used to it. You're the DH. If it wasn't for interleague play, David Ortiz never, ever would have even owned a glove. He would have been, you're the DH, stay as the DH. Because all the other, you're like, oh, it'd be better for the team if he played third. I'm not sure. Because, like, then who's the DH that day? How much better is the lineup going to be if he's just the DH and then you have, I guess, Hamilton or Romy playing first, third base? Romy's playing first base today. For Casas. So he's already the replacement for Casas. And a month from now, maybe Marcelo Meyer's on the roster and he plays third base every time Bregman's out. And he plays short or, you know, whatever.
If that's the alternative, then I'm with you. I think
this is a good, clear message that he's the DH. So this is also like, let's stop talking about it. We're not even going to have him out there.
Because it's brand new, you're probably right. But I would say a guy helping his team out and giving flexibility in general would be good for the team. Mm-hmm. You know, Christian Campbell mm-hmm. didn't say no to going to left field. Bregman would have gone to second, I think. I mean, maybe it's uglier behind closed doors than we know.
Publicly, he said that. Yep.
Bregman would have been open to doing it. And so now this guy's like, all right, well, you're making me the DH, then I'm not anything else, which is basically what Carlos Correa did in that answer at the WBC. Oh, I'm the third baseman. I'm not going to help you out and play short. I don't think that's a good teammate, but you're right. At least it's consistent, you know, messaging.
Especially for a glorified all-star team. Like, the Correa thing's worse than this.
No, it is. It is for sure.
like, dude, it's more like, baseball.
Can you help us out? We're trying to win the WBC. Nope, I'm a third baseman. Like, screw you. You move me off of short.
Okay, fine.
617-779-7937. More your phone calls coming up. Meanwhile, we mentioned Red Sox pregame starts at 1:35 here on WEEI. First pitch a little after 2:30 on your flagship station for the Boston Red Sox. So when we come back, it's an early edition of The Grab Bag!
Give me one bourbon, one scotch, and one grab bag.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So, you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.